Blog Talk Radio.
Canadian show, North American radio show, and now worldwide show. The Lizzie T Blog Talk Radio Show. She wants to know who you are, what you do, your contact info, anything new? And now welcome the amazing Lizzie T.
Hello, hello, and welcome, welcome, everyone. I am your host and one of the producers of the Lizzie T Radio Show. And don't forget, TV show as well, as we are on YouTube, as everybody, isn't it? Everybody is on YouTube nowadays. It used to be, when we started this show about 4 years ago, believe it or not, we've been 4 years on the air. People were not on YouTube. It was like a novelty, or if you wanted to research something. But now everybody is on YouTube. I find that the cable channels in your local area, especially here in Toronto, I don't know what they're doing, because everybody is on YouTube. They have YouTube channel. They broadcast once, twice, some people every day. I have no idea how they're doing it, but every day they manage to edit a show, or sometimes they just go live. Live stream is just a thing. But anyhow, yes, we are on YouTube. This show will be, it is recorded rather, and then we choose one of the best shows to be on our YouTube channel. And then also, we have if you are here in Toronto, or the farthest place that we go, it is New York. We go there and we record you, we interview you, and you, people get to see you as well. Today, we are in Canada. It is May the 20th, and is Victoria Day. For some of you that are not in Canada, especially my guest, I'm not sure he's familiar with it, but we celebrate Victoria Day, which is the Queen's grandmother or mother's birthday, and is a holiday. So later on tonight, about 10 o'clock, everywhere in Canada, we have fireworks. It is kind of like our Canada Day for our friends in the States, July 4th, which is their their national day, and different parts of the world. So incredibly enough, that is a thing here for some people that are not too familiar with our culture. And it is kind of cool. May is one of the time of year which we could have kind of like a hot, muggy days, but lately it's been cooler. It's been a little bit on the cold winds, and it's been challenging because, as you know, we Canadians, we get so much winter. Our winters are so long compared to other parts of the world. And this is very challenging for us because we are ready. We're more than ready to start the summer. The spring is enough. And so it doesn't come. It hasn't come. And we get frustrated because we've been cabin fever for the last 6 months, and the weather does not help. So hopefully, you know, the guy up there, whoever controls the weather, give us a little bit of help here. We need to go out. We had Friday, if I'm not mistaken, it was actually nice, cooler. The wind was kind of cooler, but it was good enough for me to go for a jog. Some of you know that I am a huge fan being outdoors and walking and running and jogging. So that was perfect. It was a perfect weather for you that are a runner or a jogger. So yeah. So happy Canada Day, everyone. I'm so happy to be here and to not have this day off like everybody else. I'm working. That's what happens when you are an entrepreneur. You have your own business. You've got to work every day. You actually choose the days that you feel like going for vacation. So I'm working today, but this is not a job for me. This is something that I do for fun, meaning I don't consider it to be a job, or you know, just to me is I could do this every day all the time. This is great. I love it, and I'm very joyful. And I'm hoping that you that are listening on the other side of the world are able to enjoy your profession, your career, or what you have chose to do for a living. And a lot of people, I know a lot of people, unfortunately, they're not too happy with what they do. But I'm hoping that you can choose something that you're happy doing about. Like, you know, my friend here that is waiting patient on the other line. He's a writer, and he's a very, very interesting book to share with us. Now, talking about the all the people that are listening to us on the other side of the world, we have 58 countries on the world map. I wish you could guys see. Actually, I think I have a picture I posted on my social media a couple of months ago with all the points and all the places that people are listening to us. We have friends in Australia, so good morning. And I have family, so I know they're listening. In Australia, I have friends in South America, family as well. I have friends in Europe and new friends in Africa, new friends in Italy, and the list goes on. So our world map is dotting, and we're dotting every place now. It is great. So if you are from, I don't know, a place that I haven't seen before, and maybe in Asia or Europe or a country, let me know. Let me know, because it's really interesting to find out places that I know that I'm reaching that I'm not even aware of it, right? So send us your comment or your information, or even something on social media, on Facebook or on Instagram. We are all over. And then just say hi from such and such. It'll be so interesting, so neat. So right after the interview, everyone, do not forget that we are playing music. And I'm going to give you the background again. We interviewed 3 years ago a singer-songwriter, and that singer asked us to play the song right after the interview. And we thought, yeah, why not? And all of a sudden, this show turned out to be a musical radio station. So we have about half an hour, give or take, with our guests. We interview them. We talk about their life and things. And we have the other section, which is another half an hour, give or take, just music. Music that you want us to. You want us to show your craft, show your music. And if you're a singer-songwriter, just send us your email with MP3 at show@lizzyt.com. show@LIZY.com, and we would love to play your song. And we had a beautiful pianist send us their MP3 the other day. It's just breathtaking. So what I try to do is play it for a couple of months or so, and when we're kind of saturated on our inbox, and then we trade in, we kind of play somebody else's. And we have a variety of pretty much 8 songs, if I'm not mistaken, today. Producer, is that what? 5 songs that are kind of long songs. And if we have time, we'll definitely play another one. We actually love for you to kind of respect our decision to have songs that are PR rated. I know that some stations do play some rap with profanity and things, and they're okay with that, but we try to keep it clean. This is a family show. Sometimes kids do come in the show. We had an author, an actor the other month, and we were interviewing them. It's kind of, feels awkward to be playing songs that are not they're not clean. That's really what I have to say. Not discriminating. No, we play rap, we play jazz, we play gospel, we play everything. It just has to be a clean version. That's all I'm asking. I would like to thank my sponsor, everyone. We have, my goodness, a brand new sponsor, Tech Cleaning Services. Thank you so much for sponsoring this show. Without your support, guys, this show could not be possible. So basically what we do, you can send us your email at show@lizzy.com. Tell us you would like to be our sponsor. We send you a package, and basically we mention your business and play a jingle during the interview. And sorry, text, we do not have your jingle done yet, but we'll have that soon. And Natasha Bridgemahan, which has been our sponsor for the last two years, and Nature Nova has been our sponsor for the last 3 years. So thank you so much for sponsoring the show. And Woman on Fire, also, it's a brand new sponsor. So we got 4 sponsors, and we're looking forward to have more, because your contribution help us, to kind of take care of basic stuff that that we need to take care of it. So thank you so much, everyone. And that's it, pretty much. I think our housekeeping is pretty much taken care of. And I think my theme music should be playing pretty soon. That means I need to move on. Today, everyone, we are live. It is Canada Day here in Canada. It is a holiday, but we are here live again at regular time, 7 o'clock Toronto time. And our friend is an author, is from Utah. I'm not sure what time is there right now. I should have Googled it, but I guess he's okay to be doing this interview at this late of night. I mean, some places in the world is I had a guess it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I think it was from Africa somewhere. And I'm speaking today with a Philip Bryson, and he is a professor of economics in Marriott School of Management at Brigham Young University. He retired in 2010. His career had begun with a PhD from Ohio State University, an assistant professor at the University of Arizona in 1967. In 1988, he left Arizona to join Marriott School of Faculty of BYU. He taught and researched comparative economies, system international economy, and history of economy analysis. Very depth here. Early in his publication were mostly on the central planning system of East Germany and Soviet Union. Wow. Professor Bryson became familiar with the Austrian life of people of socialist economic world living in Berlin, Germany. Wow, I've never visited there. It must have been very incredible. And during numerous research, visit Europe. Over his research career, he spent living in West Berlin and East Berlin and many other places and in that area. He was living in Berlin when the wall was created in August 1961. That must be incredible. During the week in which the wall was open, he was attending a conference in West Berlin and directly proximity to the wall. That must be something. Well, guys, without further ado, we will have our guest, Mr. Bryson, Philip Bryson, to the show, and let's welcome him with a wonderful round of applause. Hello, hello, Mr. Bryson, and Professor Bryson, let me say. Welcome to the Lizzie T. Radio Show. How are you doing this evening, I assume, or this afternoon?
I'm doing great, and I'm very happy to be with you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not sure if you've heard of Victoria Day in the States. Is this your first time, or have you had a bit of a knowledge that we were...
No, I did not know that, but my wife and I have recently been watching Victoria from the BBC on TV, and she was an amazing woman, wonderful queen.
That's right. That's right. Well, we as Canadian and directly relation with our with the Queen. I mean, there's a lot of things we still celebrate. They were part of Britain, so which a lot of people kind of confused or they're wondering. I mean, you guys are independent or no? And one of the things that those traditions have never gone away, and I don't think they will never will. And I kind of enjoy. I mean, the kids are home from school. They figure the more holidays, the better it is. They get to stay home from school, so that's a win-win situation. Yes, yeah. So, Dr. Bryson, let's talk about yourself. Let's talk about your book, but mostly important, we want to, my show is, the show, the Lizzie T show is always The theme is tell us who you are, what you do, contact info, anything new. And with those questions, we work a wonderful job. So it's really nice to get the background, a little bit of the person, not just the professor, the author, the writer. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started on your wonderful career.
Well, I have a wonderful wife and 7 children. Given my age, my children are all gone. Our nest is empty. But we have 25 grandchildren. And we have eight great-grandchildren. So my wife keeps very busy acquiring gifts, which they get mailed or delivered to our posterity. And it's a lot of fun. Being retired isn't at all bad.
Of course it isn't. My goodness. And on holiday season, your household is probably packed if everybody gets to come. My goodness.
Yeah, we have busy holiday seasons and lots of travel. But I spent a long career writing scholarly articles in scholarly journals. And they looked at the academic questions, the very detailed questions of how an economic system works, what are the problems with an economic system, and how can you overcome those problems. It was after I retired that we got President Obama, and he announced that his objective was to transform the American system completely. So I thought it's time for somebody to mention that when you transform a system that's capitalist, market-oriented, to socialism, there are a number of problems and hazards which arise. And so into my retirement, I wrote a very detailed, long book on socialism that you mentioned. And that book is written for the general public. It's not written in technical jargon, and it's designed so that everybody can understand it. And there are just a lot of problems that I want people to understand.
And that sounds fair enough. I mean, I believe that the more education, the more knowledge, the more information you get, the better it is. That way you're not an ignorant person. You actually have information to base your conversation or your discussions with. Now, what got you interested in this subject? Other than, you're retired. You do have a lot of time in your hand. And you are very interested in the subject. I mean, you lived in Berlin, for God's sake, so you know what socialism is all about. Were you always interested, because your background is in economics, and since childhood is something that you picked your interest? I mean, it's really hard to say when you are, 15, 16, getting out of high school, and I'm going to study economics. I haven't heard of that lately. Everybody wants to go into computer. What was the trigger of studying economics?
I registered as a student in pre-law and was intending to study law. But then I went to Berlin, and I lived in Berlin for a long time. I was in Germany for a couple of years, and a lot of it was in Berlin. And while I was there, the communist East German government built a big wall right down the middle of the city. And I read about it in the newspapers, about the concrete and the wire, and about the people who were shot trying to escape from East Berlin to get to West Berlin and freedom. And I came home with a big question about why a government would have to build a wall to keep its people in. And that led to the study of Karl Marx and economics, and I continued that study until I had a PhD, and that was always a central interest to me, the effort to drop the functioning of the market economy and to adopt a central planning system where the government controls everything. There are two big problems with socialism, and we're talking about them right now in the United States. The one that we're talking about most of all has to do with the redistribution of income.
Mm-hmm.
You take from the people who have money, probably more than they need, and you divide it up among those who need it. And that sounds like a good deal, but when you think that a person earns his money, works hard for it, works hard to get an education, and then earns money, and the government says, well, you can take care of yourself and three or four others as well, because we're taking your money. We've lived with that mentality so long that it doesn't upset anybody anymore. Nobody's really upset about redistribution of income. In fact, that's why the socialists really don't have socialism anymore. They still have redistribution of income. They have a lot of programs where they want to have the government finance things that people can't afford in general. But the problem is that method runs out of success when you run out of other people's money. And I'd like to talk about that for just a minute, in a minute. But I want to mention first the other aspect of socialism, and that is that you, as President Obama said, you transform the economy. That means that you change the economy from being a private economy to being a public economy. All the big corporations, if it's really a thoroughgoing economy like they had in the Soviet Union, India, China, Cuba, Venezuela, and a number of the other East European Soviet bloc countries, they tried to transform the economy by having it all managed and owned by the state. And what that is just an overreach. It's just impossible to do. If you look at what you have in the Canadian market and what you have in the United States market, you have – here we have about 5 million corporations and about 40 mm-hmm. million small businesses. Every one of those businesses and corporations has an economic plan that they're running on. They decide what they're going to purchase to invest in, what they're going to produce, what research they're going to do, how they want to change their production menu, and a lot of things they're planning. What happens under communism and socialism is that the government says all those plans are gone. You may not decide whether we actually own your company because we take it over or manage through heavy regulation or what. There will be one government plan to decide everything. And if you look at the myriad of commodities and the myriad of different cities in the country where they can be sold or where they can be produced, the state takes over and decides how much they're going to sell for, where they're going to sell, to whom they'll sell, at what price, and what wage will the workers make, and what inputs will be used in the production, and how will they be delivered, where, et cetera. So the government tries to decide everything, and it does not work efficiently. It barely worked in the Soviet Union and in those other countries until they got so bad that they had to change the system. So with the restructuring of the economy and with the transformation of the expenditures and the redistribution of income, those problems are very difficult to manage effectively.
Mm-hmm. And it's so true. It's you hit it right on the nail. Sorry about that. I understand pretty much the rationale of why a country would like to go that way. The only reason, personally, and again, guys, this is a show which we are expressing our opinion, not necessarily the way things should be. So take this as the greatest out of everyone. But I find that if one of the things, and especially because I am Canadian and do have free health care, I think, and free, quote unquote, because our taxes are very high. So it goes back to, you know, paying our teachers and paying our doctors. One of the things that it should be mandatory, or not should be mandatory, but it should be one of the things that a country should adopt, is making sure that their people are being taken care of by doctors, by hospital, and not having the problem that in some places in the world, I mean, in South America and Brazil, if you are not really well off or have an amazing insurance, you basically die in the hospital, and that's pretty sad. So if you are going socialist, kind of think about health of the people. I'm not sure if I'm expressing myself. This is not my knowledgeable subject, but I'm hoping that you understand what I'm trying to say. Is when it comes down to that, is healthcare is one of my most important things to look after in a country.
It is extremely important. Well, I think what we need to do is think about the question of healthcare and other things, government-funded programs for the benefit of the people. You would have to be a heartless person not to want to see an elimination of poverty in our time in rich economies. And that is a socialist sentiment that's very strong. And another socialist sentiment that's very strong is the achievement of equality. All very understandable. We're in the middle of a huge debate in the United States right now in advance of the next presidential election, where we have a number of candidates for the presidency who have expressed that they are socialists and they have programs that they want to do. And the problem with them is that they say, here's what we want to do, and somebody goes and figures what that would roughly cost. And the slogan right now is welfare or Medicare for all. They want a single-payer socialist healthcare system. And the calculation is that that would cost, say, $93 trillion in 10 years, a huge, huge amount. So what we need to do is figure out a way to spend our money better as well as how to spend more. And the socialists have a big financial problem because they also want free education. They want to pay off student debt. They want to have a so-called Green New Deal. And the Green New Deal says we're going to take the footprint, the carbon footprint, out of the economy completely in the next 10 years. And we're going to do that by eliminating automobile travel and airplane travel. We'll use only high-speed rail. That doesn't sound very realistic to me. If you live in Hawaii, you better get yourself a rowboat because you need a means of transportation that's feasible and affordable. It's an essential part of the economy. Well, there are a lot of other things that they're advocating huge expenditures for. And they have the idea that we've got these rich billionaires who have a lot more money than they really need. So what we need to do is just take the money, it's in the wrong hands, take it from them and spread that money around and we'd be fine. But people have done analyses of these, how many billionaires are there? Maybe 1,000? There's a limited number. And we have 350 million citizens that want health care. And the question is, if we were to tax away that money, not 70% of it, let's just say they've had all these years of high living, let's tax it all. We tax all the money of everybody who makes more than $600,000 a year, all the millionaires and billionaires, we'll tax all of that money away. It would not begin to pay for Medicare for all. It would not begin to pay for all these programs they've got. So what you do, then you say, okay, well, we don't have enough tax revenues. We can borrow money. And we borrowed a lot of money, and we're going to be paying around $500 billion a year for interest on the money we've borrowed in the past. And so the costs that we're looking at are really very, very high. And if you say, well, we can always print money. And the socialists are not, in our country, are not very sophisticated about finance. And so they have the idea, well, you can always print money if you can't borrow it. And that's what they did in Venezuela.
And
what happens, you end up paying $1 million for a loaf of bread because you get hyperinflation when you just flood the economy with money. So there are limits to what you can do. And in the United States, the socialists speak as though we're just terrible people because we're not giving everybody their human right to free health care. Well, if you live in this country and you go to an emergency room, you have no necessity. You don't. If you don't have the money, you don't have to pay. So we're already taking care of people who are here. And the question is, how can we take care of them better? And the programs of the socialists are simply spend more money, keep spending more money until we get everything done that we want done. And the only problem with that is it doesn't work. That's why you get the European Union with a number of countries. There's Portugal and Spain and Italy and two or three others. Just a couple of years back, they were wondering if they were just going to have to shut them out, European Union, or if they were going to have to declare bankruptcy because they've way overreached in their trying to provide everybody with everything they want. So there are problems that you have to face, and the problems of turning an economy into a socialist economy can start out looking pretty good, like Venezuela did, but difficulties can grow very rapidly.
I can see your point of view, and I'm actually very happy and pleased that you came to the show, because you are definitely educating me, like many other Canadians who think that the States is a place where they turn people off because they don't have money for to take care of themselves in the hospital. And I know that you give me a lot of ammunition to think about. There's a lot of pros and cons. And if you think about every country that has tried to go socialist, I don't know if any of them, and you probably know the answer to this, any of them have actually succeeded. We know that Venezuela doesn't. We Canadians go to Cuba a lot. I am such a huge fan of Cuba. I love their beaches and all that. But we all know that there are people that are struggling financially. They can't wait to see a Canadian so they can ask for clothing and toothpaste and, you know, basic necessity. And obviously, I haven't never been to Soviet Union, but I guess things are not as successful as they seem to be. So has any country has succeeded in socialist or communist?
Well, the Soviet Union was an absolute disaster. It was terrible. And what the democratic socialists in the United States say is, we don't want a Soviet Union. We're going to have a Scandinavian model like they have in Sweden and those countries. But if you get online and look what's happening in Sweden, you find out they are not a socialist country. They talk about Swedish capitalism because about 40 years ago or so, they simply said all this, having the government try to control everything, doesn't work. It's a mess, and we're getting out. And they got out, and they have a market economy. What they do have that seems socialistic is the other half of the program where you redistribute income. And the Scandinavians are fairly, until recent immigration, they've been a very homogeneous society, and so they share. They redistribute their income. They don't have any poor, and they do a wonderful job that way. But the other thing they do is tax everybody. Everybody pays their taxes. Now, they're not going to starve when they pay their high taxes because they're going to turn around and get free subsidies from the government. But everybody pays their taxes, and everybody works. That's a wonderful kind of situation. And then how do they work? They work with a market.
Very similar to what we have here in Canada, sounds like it.
I because think, from what I know of Canada, you have the health care,
yes,
and you have a number of other social things you could tell me about, but you're not in the business of having the government run everything. When the government manages almost 20% of the economy, which is health care, that's a big bite, and lots of government control. But there are other markets that you have up there, which I suspect are quite open and free markets.
Absolutely. It sounds very like Sweden right now. And obviously, if the person it is an immigrant or does not have their Canadian citizenship or even just as a tourist and they do not have money, obviously we take care of them as well. One of the things that I love about is that everybody works, and I mean everybody pays taxes. A lot of people complain because it is a 35, sometimes 45% that we get taxed. We work halfway from the government and the other ones we get to keep. But what we see, our roads are fixed, our kids are receiving free education. They can apply for going to university for free if their qualifications are high out there. And we see that our seniors are being taken care of. My father, for example, he had a severe stroke and he's been taken care of. He goes in and out from the hospital for doctor's appointment completely free because he can't drive. So he has a taxi coming to his home and taking him wherever he needs to absolutely for free. And so it doesn't bother me that I have to that I have to pay lots of taxes because I see that all my money has been put to an amazing use. We have libraries, we have books, we have so many things. And I think one of the best, I mean, it's been said out there that Canada, Sweden, and one of those countries are one of the best places to live in the world. Reason being is because everybody works, everybody pays taxes. And if you work for a company that actually has good benefits, the government is not going to pay for your drugs because the company is already doing that for you. So let's give that to the person that doesn't, not able to pay for their own drugs. So see, it's a give and take. And I think that's a very, very smart. I'm not saying that this is paradise here. There are problems in Canada, obviously, but compared to other parts in the world, I'm very proud to live here. One of the things that I wanted to mention about your book is you talk about lust of freedom, and that's one of the things that you probably feel personal, very, very passionate about when you become, when the place becomes socialist or in that kind of environment, people have no say in it. What do you mean by that term?
Well, the first thing that happens when you get an economic plan going, traditionally, when it's over-centralized and the government's taking on too much control, things don't go well, and there are all sorts of problems. So what you would expect is that the government would – hello, you there? I'm getting a beep.
It's probably your cell phone, somebody trying to call
in. Oh, somebody called me. Okay, so now where'd we get to? We were talking about the the inefficiencies mean that the government's going to set up a propaganda bureau. They're going to control the news because they don't want all sorts of complaints about how nothing works and it's terrible. So they take over the press. And then the planners always figure they could get on top of it if they just had a little more control. So they start to reduce other freedoms, and they confiscate more and more of our own decision-making opportunities. And it's like when they started in Venezuela, it was a rich country and so on, but the place now is a battleground between a starving populace and a government that is tyrannical. That's all you can say. And it comes to violence. It comes to clashes on the street. And it's the only way I can see that Venezuela is going to recover is to have that socialist regime go away.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, Canada has opened some of the immigrations and for refugees in Venezuela, and it's very challenging to get those people in, and some of the people are really struggling. They're crossing the border from from the Straits to Mexico here to Canada. I mean, it's a long, long trip for them. But unfortunately, the situation there, it is, there's a lot of Canadians, a lot of institutions, a lot of organizations, nonprofit organizations, which I am part of, that we help places in Africa. We help some places in different parts of the world. And right now our focus is to the starving kids, children, rather. Their babies, they're being abandoned because of the mothers. I mean, we see that everywhere in the world, but now especially what's going on in Venezuela. It's just really, really sad. Looks like
the side of socialism that is interesting. I have a friend who had a relative come from Sweden, and after she got here, she had a stroke. And so my friend was saying, she doesn't have any other relatives. I'm going to have to take her back to Sweden. I'm going to have to fly her home. And about 3 days later, two Swedish medical people appeared in an airplane which was designed to take her back to Sweden, to pick her up, give her what health care she needs in the meantime, and take her back to Sweden. I thought that was phenomenal. So there are wonderful things that happen when the government is kind and provides money. But the thing that bothers me is our government provides lots of money, and there's a lot of fraud and waste and abuse, and it's just very discouraging that way. And if the people who are talking, they want control of the economy in the United States, and the way they talk and their attitudes and their body language, I'm afraid that if they get in to office, it's not going to be a pretty scene in the United States for the next while. But, you know, people in India, I know, they had their central planning just like the Soviet Union, and it was designed to be like the Soviet Union, and Soviets came down and helped them establish their planning. And they had one region of their country became a communist. They voted in communists and all that. That lasted one term, and they were voted out again. So it doesn't always mean you're going to have a Stalin and you're going to turn into a terrible, terrible disaster. But there's the danger. There is the danger. Who would have thought that Venezuela would turn out the way it's turning out? So there are some nice things about it, but we're still learning about how to run things carefully, effectively and efficiently.
There's got to be a middle term, and I guess we're going to be finding out next election. And our thoughts are with our friends across the border here in the States, because there are neighbors, right? A lot of Canadians go to Florida, and some of my friends that love every year in the wintertime, especially to go to Florida, they feel a little bit hesitant to kind of cross the borders, just because sometimes the person that is at the border doesn't understand that our Canadian friends have a property there, and you know, it doesn't feel as comfortable or as welcoming as they used to be, just because things are run a bit different now, and I guess everybody is at the edge in with different situation. Dr. Bryson, I fear to say that we are starting to run out of time for our interview. However, one of the most important thing, I think you are giving us amazing education right now. And like I said earlier, I believe that the more education, the more knowledge you have, the better it is in any way, in anything in life, and especially such an important subject. But I do not want to forget for you to mention, what's the name of the book, rather? And number one, and number two, where can people get your book?
It's available at Amazon and the major booksellers in the United States. You can get it online at Amazon. And the title of the book is Socialism, Origins, Expansion, Decline, and the Attempted Revival in the United States. And let me mention in closing also, I have a website for the book that has a lot of information, and it's called Socialism's Issues Revealed.com. But you can find it, if you don't remember that, you can find it by Googling Bryson, B-R-Y-S-O-N, which you announced as my name a while back, and then you just write on socialism, and it will give you more than one publication, but it will include that book.
Wonderful, wonderful. And not to worry, everyone, if just in case if you miss the website, I will post it on my social media. There is a link right now on Facebook / Lizzie T Radio. There's a link for the show right underneath. There is a link for the website, socialism. MissUseRevealed.com. So don't worry about the spelling. I will have a link, and also I will have it on Instagram. So Facebook and Instagram, rather, Lizzie T on Instagram. So you will have the link for the show because this is recorded, so nothing is going to go away. If you tuned in, everyone, and you are wondering, is Lizzie working on Victoria Day? Yes, I am. You can just link and listen to the whole recording, the whole show. This is an amazing person. I'm very, very happy that he was here today teaching us, you know, knowledge. As I said it many times, it is, my goodness, it's gold, right? And the more you can learn about something, the better it is. That way you're not ignorant. And ignorant doesn't mean that you're dumb or stupid. It's just you don't know about the subject. But here we are giving you a little bit of more information so you can educate yourself and take your own decision, make your own decision, make your own discussion. And that way you are definitely more educated, as I mentioned earlier. So the website will be on my social media, Facebook / Lizzie T Radio. And I believe he has social media as well. I'm kind of looking on his website as well. And are you on any of the social media platforms?
Lizzie T, you are wonderful. Thank you for making that information available to your listeners. It's been a great pleasure to talk to you.
It's been an honor and a pleasure myself, Dr. Bryson. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Hello to your lovely wife. I love how you express yourself. I have a lovely wife. That was so sweet. I love it. Thank you so much, and make it a fantastic evening.
Wish you the same. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. And that was bye. Dr. Bryson, and lots of knowledge, lots of information, and thank goodness for freedom of speech here in North America. We're able to talk about things that sometimes are not comfortable for you, or perhaps it's not your cup of tea, but we have it all. We have it for everyone. Again, the website will be on my social media, lizzyt.com, and on Facebook also, and on Instagram. Continuing on, everyone, with our musical section. It is one of my favorite. We have a lot of songs to play, so hopefully we will be able to get to all of them. Joyce, she is a gospel singer, and she was interviewed last week, and the song is called Madness.
Can imagine life without you by my side. This is love, baby, that I'm feeling, and I hope that you're feeling the same way. Things do slip my mind, like how you like to whine and dine, baby, with romantic lights. You mean a lot to me in so many ways. Have I told you I love you? Have I told you you still mean the world to me? Have I told you I love you? I'll be your wishing well. Tell me what you want, babe. Don't think twice of all love. I say these things because I love you. But it's hard to explain, and I'm hoping that you're feeling the same way. You know that all of my feelings are inside and verbally. I tend to forget how much I love you. Have I told you I love you? Have I told you you still mean the world to me? Have I told you I love you? I'll be your wishing well. Tell me what you want, babe. Trying hard is to deal. Yes, I forgot. You know how I feel. Things slip my mind, baby, and that's a fact. Tell me you love me, and I'll tell you, baby. Have I told you I love you? Have I told you you still to me? I'll be your wishing well. Tell me what you want, babe.
And that was Stephen Jr. Thank you so much for sending your MP3. The song was called Lately. And we have time for one more song. And it is right now from one of our friends here from Canada, Andrea Goodman. And she has been nominated for an award. And I'm so happy that I was able to interview her last year, if I'm not mistaken. She has a brand new solo. So let's enjoy it.
Never been somebody who knows what I want. But there's been this one thing, and it's got me wondering, boy, it's kinda hot. We're so connected.
And that's it for today, everyone. This is at the end of our show for today. It is Victoria Day, and we're here broadcasting live. And I want to thank everyone who listened to us today. I want to thank everyone, our supporter, definitely our sponsors. Thank you so much, Nita Nova and Natasha Bridgehan and Tex for sponsoring the show today. And obviously our guest, Dr. Bryson, right from Utah, to talk about his book today and to talk about how to educate us, how important it is to have a bit of knowledge when it comes to having a country being socialist or not. So we will be back tomorrow, everyone, with another show, with another guest, and I'm hoping that you can join us. If you are interested in being with us on the show or interacting with us, make sure that you do email us and let us know you want to be on the show, show@lizzyt.com. It is show@lizzyt.com. And if you would like to interact with our guests, if you know the guests, I will let you know tomorrow who we have. The number to call us in into the station is 215-383-5705. I'll say it again, 215-383-5705. Is the number to call. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much for your support, and make it a fantastic Victoria Day, everyone. Bye-bye for now.